You are listening to Tech Talk, guys.
Welcome to episode 5 of Tech Talk, guys, with Bill and Joe. Today we'll be talking about Walmart selling Skype phones, computer speech now and in the 80s, and Joe talks about his new dream machine. Okay, so one day, Joe, you're going to write up the notes that say how we actually do this podcast, right?
Actually, yeah, I was going to say that if we can maybe do a podcast soon about how to do a podcast, I'd appreciate it because I actually have a talk that I have to give at Longwood University to a bunch of educators about how to do a podcast, and I thought it'd be helpful to direct them towards our own so that we can get more listeners and so that they have something to listen to that's informative.
Ha ha, I like it, an audience. Way to grow to the audience. Yeah. That's always good. Well, Joe, what are we going to talk about today? Because we haven't really prepped for our show notes.
Well, I had a few stories that I thought were good.
Go for it.
Where's the one? iTunes 7 apparently is chock full of hidden mobile phone mentions.
Really?
Though at the recent announcement, Steve didn't say anything about it. Apparently, some of those crazy guys out there got into the code of iTunes, and there's such strings in there as was not copied because the video format is not supported by the mobile phone, or are you sure you want to manually manage music and videos on your mobile phone? You will need to manually eject your mobile phone before it can be disconnected safely. This is the same thing you get when you switch your iPod over to disk usage in iTunes.
Okay.
So this is... Oh, boy. I got to do it. This is interesting because that means that there's going to be a phone that is definitely supported by iTunes 7. And, you know, I'm wondering what we might see in the first quarter of next year.
Well, it would be really nice. And I might have to hold out and replace my Trio with that. I wonder if they're going to support it on Singular.
Maybe, but, you know, Singular, didn't they pick up the rocker or the sliver or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was the rocker. Yeah.
The rocker? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the rocker.
There you go. So, I don't know. iTunes 7 apparently has a lot more features than we were first told by our friend Steve. And, you know, apparently it also will do syncing. Here, let me send you the link. I just realized I didn't send you the link.
Well, have you added it to the Tech Talk Guys Delicious page?
It is, but I found out that doesn't work.
What do you mean?
Well, because remember I had told you can do the whole, you know, say it's for the Tech Talk Guys thing when you tag it on your own? Mm-hmm. Well, it goes there, but then if you're not logged in as Tech Talk Guys, you can't look at the four links.
Well, you can if you log in as Tech Talk Guys.
Yeah.
And then go in, and there's an icon up, or there's a link near the top that says links for you, and you have to pull them onto the page.
Oh, all right. Well, then let me do that then.
Yeah, so it does work. I've done that a couple times. I've actually pulled some stuff onto the page.
Okay, good. To actually prelude that, I think I did send it to you. I put it in your four links, so you should already have it, but I did send it to you anyway.
Oh, is that the one that has the lovely title, Buttloads of Mobile Phone Mentions?
That would be it.
Ah, okay. Oh, look at the hacking going on.
Yes, yes.
Wow, there.
I heard from one listener that sometimes, I don't know if maybe we left one in somewhere, but you did that kind of humming noise. And people, this one person told me that it sounded like a grunt from Halo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes in the background, if you sneak up on them and they're not doing anything, they're whistling or doing the little thing.
Then they make that, wah!
Yeah.
And then they get shot. Yeah, yeah. I know. I remember that sound.
Yes. There was I got to see if I can find that MP3. There was one running around that somebody recorded, which was nothing but like a remixed version of all of these little grunt noises that they like put to music and everything. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think I did hear that. Are you in the PHP camp? The PSP camp?
You know, I never fully went for the PSP. Not because I didn't want to. It was definitely real pretty. I just wasn't real happy with the format. You know, I thought it was kind of locking a lot of other people out of it. And at that time, I was still wasn't too sure about carrying around a device to watch my movies on. Lo and behold, that's where everything was going. But, you know, I think the other big one was the fact that it didn't have an internal hard drive, as far as I remember.
Right, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You have to use memory sticks.
I think you can use the Duo Sony sticks, but Sony and those sticks have always been kind of a two sheep knocking it out, because like sometimes they're good and they've been real flexible and they've kind of been adapted with the whole card readers that can read like SD and mini memory sticks and Duo and all, but they're so locked in as far as devices. You can only use them on Sony devices.
And they cost more than regular memory too.
And this, yeah.
Yeah. Which is not fun. Hey Joe, let's talk about my little voiceover IP phone that I bought at Walmart.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
What I think I'm going to do is, actually, before we started this podcast tonight, Joe and I talked across that phone, and I'm going to actually take some of that audio and possibly splice it into this podcast right about now.
Hey, Joe, I'm calling you on my phone.
Oh, very cool.
I guess the audio quality's not so hot.
It's not terrible, but it's not as good.
Well, what would you expect for a $30 phone versus...
This is true. Versus our very nice... microphones.
Yeah, I was just checking this out to see what you think. I sent you the link.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. So that's the phone that you got?
Yeah.
So how's that hook up to your computer? USB or? Hmm? Huh.
Yep.
Pretty cool. And can you do, I guess you can do direct dial then too.
Yep.
You gotta have the Skype out points or whatever.
Well, I can do direct dial as long as I hit the green button to make it finally dial. I can dial the numbers on the phone, but I can't get it to like go all the way through. Alrighty.
To talk to you in a few.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I was at Walmart this week, and I was walking around the store looking for something, and I went into the computer section, and you know, I was quite surprised at how good some of the products were in the Walmart computer section. Have you ever stumbled through there?
I have, and I was, you're right, I was surprised by some of the things they had. I remember a year or two ago, I actually saw a AOL Instant Messenger handheld wireless-like client device, so you could log in. It was a little bit bigger than the old Nintendo controller, like the N64 controller. Wasn't shaped that way, but size wise and it was just a smooth thing with like a full QWERTY keyboard and a little about I think 5-line LCD screen, and you could log in and then just use your AIM thing, and it had just that simple operating system, but if you had Wi-Fi in your house, you could log in and just go.
That's pretty cool. I never saw that.
Yeah, I mean, and it was some of the other, they had some other goofy things there too. Like I saw an air-cooled keyboard where air blew up through it for the gamer with the sweaty palms.
Yeah. Well, when I was there, I noticed that they had three Skype-based IP phones available. Two of them looked like cell phones with a cord attached, and one of them looked like a regular desk phone. And I thought, you know what, I might as well buy it and try it out. Well, I bought it, and it's pretty cool. It actually works. I'm actually considering getting my in-laws hooked up with it. My father-in-law does a lot of calling and would love to be able to do conference calls, because I don't know if you know, but when you do like more than a three-way conference call, it gets pretty expensive. You have to get a gateway and special dial-in numbers, and you pay all these rates. Well, with Skype, as you know, Joe, you can make conference calls without any trouble at all. And they're free. And so I'm thinking now with the Skype phone on his desk plugged into his laptop, and it looks like a phone and works like a phone, he could use Skype instead of using those telephone gateways that cost, you know, good chunk of change every time he has a conference call.
Especially now with more and more older people getting to the point where they're realizing that the technology needs to be used, it still needs to be adapted so that they're comfortable with it. I still find that my dad doesn't really get the whole Skype buddy list kind of thing. Every once in a while, I really throw him off when I get on Gmail and I see him on at the same time. And so I send him a chat and he's like, "You just messed up my email." And I'm like, "No, don't worry. It's in the background." But, you know, it's those kind of things that the older generation is still trying to get used to. And it's good to see manufacturers producing devices that they can be more comfortable with because it's something they're comfortable with.
You know, the sad thing to me about life is going to be that one day we're going to be older people.
Yeah, and then we're going to be like, oh, how do you work this doohickey?
I remember the days when things had buttons and you didn't just talk to them to make them do what you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
You know, I just have that feeling that one day I'm going to use that kind of voice and talk that way.
Oh, speaking of which, I got a new voice on my phone. You know, every once in a while my phone decides to interject and, you know, make its two bits heard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I found this cool, and there's a reason I'm sharing this. I found this cool place on the web that's provided by AT&T, and it's their true voice, their digital voice that they use for different applications for, you know, the online services and things like that.
For those things that say, like, this phone will now destruct in 5 seconds.
Yeah, that yeah. Or, you know, this line's been disconnected, it's out of service, that kind of thing. Yeah, but
we're sorry.
The nice thing is you can select, you can type in the language and it does the text to speech. It'll say the thing for you. And you can pick it to do it in Spanish, French, German, English, or British English, and even Indian English. Like,
oh, I think that would be very funny.
Yeah, except it's in a woman's voice, unfortunately, Bill.
I couldn't do that. I can do the guy voice semi-well, but... you know, there's a listener to our podcast that's going to say, well, Joe, that feature's built into the Mac.
Oh, yes, yes. But can it say this? Let me get it to work.
Pardon me, Mr. Tolliver. A text message has arrived for you.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Pardon me. That's the good part.
Yeah, it's the whole pardon me and everything. And then there's
it's
also,
polite.
There's also the appointment announcement.
Mr. Tolliver, you have an appointment to attend to.
Oh, that's great. So how long did you sit around programming possible speech patterns into it to get it to come out so beautifully?
Actually, it wasn't that bad. The only one I had to work with was my last name, because T-A-L-A-I-V-E-R comes out as Talaiver, so I just put in Oliver with a T at the beginning of it. And then the rest of it, it just worked fluidly. I didn't have to do anything. I just kind of typed in what I felt like it to, what I wanted it to say, and it did it.
I'm going to really, really, really date myself here. I had a speech program like that on my Commodore 64 when I was in junior high or high school. And I could make the computer say things, you know, just like you had to do with the T Oliver to make your last name come out right.
Sure.
You had to really mess around with it to get the sounds to come out just right. And I used to have so much fun with that. A good friend of my aunt worked for the government. She was actually a government contractor, and then she became a full-time government employee. And she worked with mainframe computers. And she was, you know, like a COBOL programmer and all that kind of stuff. She started out in the days of punch cards and all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, you know, the early days of computing kind of stuff. And she came over to our house one time, and I was getting the computer to talk. And she said, I don't like that. I really don't like that. It kind of creeps me out. The computer's talking to us. I really don't like that. And I thought it was so funny at the time. But, you know, I guess if your view of computers has been that they're just input-only objects, not stuff that gives you, you know, things back, you would have a interesting worldview on it.
You said interesting.
I did.
It's okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of going to get to that point where you're, I mean, I was in Best Buy the other day, and I was looking at, just don't ask, but I was looking at a refrigerator. At Best Buy. I'll tell you why I was looking at the refrigerator. It had a 15-inch LCD panel built into the front of it.
Okay, you can look at refrigerators if they got LCD panels.
In addition to a 15-inch LCD panel, it had an SD slot underneath it, so you can do picture viewing on your refrigerator. So instead of posting the pictures of the kiddos up with magnets, scan them in and then pop it in with an SD card.
Mommy, can you scan my artwork I made in class so it can show up on the front of the refrigerator, please?
I can just picture little Bobby complaining that Sarah's pictures are 3 seconds long while his are only for two while they're on the slideshow mode.
Mom, Sarah has a longer duration than I do.
Well, in addition to that, the refrigerator speaks to you. Like when it opens, it says door open. And when there's ice, you know, it says ice and all that. I can picture my father having a problem with his refrigerator telling him the door is open. Like, that would just bother him all the time. I would think that that would be amazingly awesome.
Mr. Tolliver, your door is ajar. No, it's a door. No, Mr. Tolliver, your door is ajar. No, it's a door.
Information's sake, my dad isn't that thick of an Indian accent.
I'm going to edit all that out.
Okay, good.
No, when I was a youngster, my friend who I found on the internet, what?
Sorry, you just do such a perfect Dvorak.
Well, you know, it's a little esoteric reference there.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, my friend's dad had one of those Dodge Chargers that was like the ones in the middle 80s that had the voice that would speak to you. I don't know if you ever rode in one of those. It might have been before your time.
Mm-hmm.
But what was funny about it is the computer had a glitch. And when you get up to 25 miles an hour, the whole car would cut off for like a second. And then it would cut back on. I mean, like the dash would go out. The engine would shut off. The whole thing would just go stop at 25 miles an hour. And you'd coast for a second. And then the whole car would come back on. But it was one of those, you know, speaking cars.
Now, when you say speaking, do you mean like kit or like?
Like your door is ajar. It would say it. Oh, yeah. It would say all that stuff. It had a little LCD readout on the dash that would say, you know, whatever the car was saying, it would also type up on the screen as well. But it actually talked to you.
That is awesome, and I'm currently eBaying it on Motors.
What's that?
The talking Dodge Charger.
I think it was a Charger. I know it was a Chrysler product.
Well, same family.
Yeah. Talking Dodge. No, not over there. I told you I bought a new chair, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I bought a new chair for doing podcasts in. It's much more comfortable than my old one.
See, while Bill gets this cushy chairs and nice headphones, I am actually standing up. During all of my podcasts, I have been standing.
Wah.
While I do it, I do curls and stuff. That's how I get my exercise in. I can't find it, dude.
I know, I'm looking.
Hey, by any chance, could we start this podcast with Carmina Burana?
Say wahama.
For this podcast, like in for the intro music, can we use Carmina Burana?
What is that?
That's the operatic music everyone hears where it's like do 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 do. I'll send you the file.
Yeah, but is it public domain?
Yeah, it's really old.
Ah.
That's public, right?
Not necessarily.
I'll double check.
Why would you want to start it with that?
I was looking at the new Weird Al album, Straight Outta Lynwood, obviously a play on Compton. But anyhow, underneath iTunes, if you go, he actually has a celebrity playlist. I highly suggest you check it out. He's got the most interesting music on there. I mean, it's the most obscure to the most popular, and his comments would make it sound like it's a classical piece, and then it ends up being like the most drunken Jamaican version of Louie Louie possible.
Hmm.
But one of them was Carmina Burana, and it was he was like, keep a track of this around for whenever you want to enter a room, because it's always used as the big suspenseful, you know, ta-da. I'm
trying to remember what that car was called. Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. I'm going to see if it's in there. I'm going to Google it first. Yeah.
I tried out a BMW 330 CI today.
Really? What year?
I want to say 99 or 2000. I can't remember now. Gosh, you got me. I have the pictures on my Moblog. jtolliver.textamerica.com.
You are being Dvorak now.
Yeah, except I have like 3 or 4 different blogs I can. I also sat in a GT40. Amazing.
Really? Where'd you do that?
At the Sheehy Ford dealership.
Oh, wow. I saw one up close.
Yeah, I mean, this one had the full orange and blue paint job. It was gorgeous. I forgot. Well, I posted all of these from my phone because I took all these pictures with my phone. I didn't think the car dealerships would really care for me walking around with my big 30D and lens and everything.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, well, I just didn't know. But anyway, I took this picture of the BMW with my phone. And
that's pretty sweet.
It's actually cheaper than the van my parents were looking at. So I posted it as, hi, my name is Temptation.
What year is that?
That's the thing, because I can't remember if it was a 2000. I'm sure if some listeners out there, they can look at the grill and tell me what year it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I can't tell.
I want to say it's a later model, but it's before they did that really aggressive front lip and everything. So
yeah, but that's only like 2 years old at the most.
That's true. 30,000. It was 32,000 with like 40,000 miles, I want to say.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they do a reverse Kelly Blue Book. I also saw the Scion Supercharger.
I didn't even know they were going to make one.
Yeah, it boosts the power to 160 horsepower. Not by 160. It boosts it to 160.
Wow, that's big, big horsepower. I'm sitting here reading about the Chrysler Laser. That's what the car was. From 1984 to 1986, they made the car. And just, I'm sending you the link. It's on the Dodge Daytona Wikipedia entry. But they don't talk about the talking part.
Maybe that was aftermarket.
No, it was stock. I remember it. There you go. Both Daytona and Chrysler Lasers were available with the Chrysler Electronic Voice Alert System. That's it.
That would be really annoying, though, if it broke, and then you're driving down the road, and it's still telling you, door is ajar. Door is ajar.
Oh, it did that. Oh, yeah, it did that.
Awesome.
Using technology from Texas Instruments similar to what was used in the Speak and Spell, the EVA would automatically lower the radio volume and deliver 11 different spoken warning messages, 24 on certain models, to drivers using a speech synthesizer. Generally paired with a digital instrument cluster and considered the height of technology at the time, many drivers grew weary of the system constantly admonishing them to fasten their seatbelts and turn it off via a switch in the glove compartment. I remember that. So we have mega rabbit trail here. We've gone from your phone talking to a Commodore 64 reference to a talking car from the 80s. How do we do that?
Well, actually, it kind of flows together because all of them sort of had in common a digital voice.
There you go.
So that is what we're talking about today, is digital voices.
Did we catch a rabbit?
I think the listeners should let us know whether we found that rabbit or not.
Anyway. Well, what other fun things do we have on topic for tonight?
Let me see. I had some other things. Oh, SATA drives are going for insane prices, dude. I don't know if you've seen these, but like, let me see. Where was that one? There was a 400 gig SATA drive offered by Circuit City. Unfortunately, it's gone, so don't rush and try to get one. But there was a 400 gig SATA drive available from Circuit City for like $110.
No way.
No rebates, no nothing. That was the price of the drive. 7,200 RPM and everything. It's not like it was a POS. It was good.
A POS?
Oh, whoops. So much for our explicit tag.
I'll edit that out.
All right, thanks. I was rolling kind of fast on that one, though.
You are going pretty good. Hello, Joe.
Additionally, what's speaking?
I'm on the AT&T Labs page you sent me.
Oh. Additionally, I am totally want to sound like a Valley guy right now because I'm stoked about this. But
dude,
I am going to build a Core Duo machine.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
How do you get the money for that, Joe?
Yeah, I'm just building it on faith.
Oh, okay.
So
it's a it's a metaphysical computer?
Yes, I'm just going to set the processor in the middle of my desk and just imagine what it must be like. But no, I am going to seriously consider building a 64-bit machine here because I want to be ready for Vista and I want to try it out before anyone else does. At 64-bit, not 32-bit, obviously. So I'm looking at the Core Duo. I can't remember which one. It's not the $900 Extreme Duo. It's the one right below it, like 2.6 gigahertz or whatever. So I'm looking at that Core Duo, a decent motherboard with SLI support so I can run my dual video cards, you know, probably 2 gigs of RAM or something whenever I get around to it.
Man, you're talking about $1,500 worth of machine at least.
Yeah. I'm going to put that giant thermal take case that I showed you, Bill.
Yep. Is it thermal take or thermal talkie?
I don't know.
I got you confused now.
I might call it thermal talkie. I kind of like that better.
Oh, it's a thermal talkie case.
But it had great reviews other than the fact that that people called it a wall because it's 22 inches deep.
Hmm.
It's 20 inches high and 8.5 inches wide, which is pretty average. But then it's 22 inches deep. So it's just obnoxiously like long. I mean, if I set it up on my desk here in my room, I would have my own cubicle.
The advantage of it being so big is that you get a lot of air flow through the system with a case that size.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's beautiful airflow because it's almost all mesh all around, kind of like your case is, Bill.
Right. Now, Joe, explain to everybody out there why airflow is a good thing.
Airflow is good because Bill says it's good. No, airflow is good because processors, all the solid state devices, hard drives, everything that's spinning inside of your machine produces heat. This heat gets in there and it reduces efficiency, and I don't know the physics of it, but I know it's bad for your computer. Bill?
Well, yeah, I mean, you need fans to push air, cool air from the outside, past all of these hot devices. I mean, the average computer chip these days that runs your machine puts out anywhere from 65 to 90 watts of power. And there's a big effort by AMD and Intel to try to reduce the amount of wattage that's required by these processors to work. You know, the higher you make the faster these machines work, the more heat they put out. And so there's this constant battle between the machine getting too hot so that you can't run it without some form of really extra cooling, like a liquid cooling system or something like that.
Which I'm putting in.
That's because you're going to have this huge case and you need something to fill it up. So, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to the Arctic, the Kingwin Arctic liquid cooler that I plan on getting, which has a radiator. And I mean, we're talking, it's an actual like radiator for the processor, for the GPU, and...
And a GPU is a graphics processing unit?
Graphic processor unit, which should be kind of dicey for me, because if I run the dual video cards, I don't know how I'll do it. And then, again, lately these video cards have been coming with some pretty good heat sinks for the GPUs, so I should be okay.
Well, and you're going to need a power supply that supports SLI integration, too.
It's true.
Joe, I did send you a link to a 1984 Dodge Laser 2.2 Turbo. It could be yours. It could be yours if you drove to Spokane, Washington and plunked down $850.
Well, $850 I can do, but the drive to Spokane, not so much.
Well,
especially the ride cross country with door is ajar. Door is ajar.
But you never know. This one might not have that upgraded option of the voice system.
Oh, that was an upgrade. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had to actually upgrade
shell out
it.
The big bucks for that.
Yeah, I'm going to jump back and chat real quick about the Kingwin liquid cooler.
Sure.
Is it me, or does every product coming out of Taiwan or Korea or China have to put the word "win" in it?
Yeah, yeah. That's not you. That's definitely something I've noticed.
Han Win, King Win, Play Win, Far Win. I mean, it's like, can't you, do you know any other English words that could go along with computer?
Yeah.
If you really want to have fun, and this isn't for everybody, but if you really want to have fun, try to read a owner's manual for any product that's been created in China or Korea or Taiwan. The English that they use is wonderful. Have you ever done that for kicks?
I flipped over, but unfortunately it was actually written in Chinese, so I had no idea what was going on.
Well, the English they use is just absolutely hilarious. And maybe next time I'll find an example and read it on the air for you. Now, Joe, do you have any reservation whatsoever about having liquid running inside your computer?
Oh, absolutely. I'm terrified of doing this setup. I mean, I know that if I get it done, it's going to be amazing. Because if I read the article correctly, and again, it's in the show notes, this is from cluboverclocker.com. They had a... Where is it?
It's Club OC, man. It's like Orange County, dude.
They gave it 10 out of 10 on everything, on performance. And I'm trying to see where they had the actual specs of what... Oh, okay. They tested it on a Intel Pentium 4, 2.8 gigahertz. And I think at load, it was running... Where is it? It was running a little over 40 degrees. But then with the processor cooler on it, it was running down at like 35. Celsius, by the way. Celsius.
Hmm. The picture right below that chart is really cool. Where they got all the tubes running and the lights and everything.
I actually heard that, and not just heard, I've seen that if I get some different kind of tubing that has just a slight tinge of green to it, then with my blue cathodes that I'll have on the inside, they'll glow, you know, iridescently.
That would be very nice.
Because the big case that I'm planning on getting, the thermal take, has a huge window on the side, and I've always wanted to build a giant glowing machine.
And I don't know about the whole liquid inside the machine thing. It just that would freak me out. You know, one leaked hose and you got a fried system.
Yeah, I'm still very scared about it, and to be 100% honest, I'm still deciding on it. But I don't know, man. It's really, I mean, it just looks mean. I mean, the fact that if you look at the picture that I sent you, Bill, I mean, that thing, that's a literal radiator.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I guess I should have said, if any of these hoses began to leak, you would have a fried system.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt, because everything, it's built so compactly that, I mean, if this one leak went off on this radiator unit and it would get in the fan and then just spray all over your machine, I mean, you'd be done for.
Did you see that it was an article where a couple of guys from Germany made a waterproof case, and they actually ran the whole processor filled up with a non-conductive liquid?
I did. I saw that. Wasn't it like corn oil?
Yeah, I think they used corn oil or something like that. Something you would use in a fryer.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember that. And they ran it in there and they got amazing speeds because the liquid around it was just dissipating the heat as quickly as the machine could put it out.
Yeah, then it burned out after a little while.
Yeah, that's inevitable. That's another reason why I'm worried about because I've heard that this Core Duo is running at really low temperatures already, and it comes with a really mean heatsink. In fact, the new XPS 700 heavy ordnance, as Dell calls it, has a slow spinning fan. It's not even a high speed fan for the processor. It's a slow spinning fan to reduce on sound, and because apparently the processor doesn't need a massive fan blowing air all over it because of those features that you were talking about earlier about making them run with lower power, thereby having less heat.
Yeah. The new Core Duo chips, actually based on an Israeli design, which harkens back to what, the Pentium days, I think. I've read. So really the new chips are based on old chip technology, and they were designed in Israel as kind of a backup plan, and they're running pretty good. They've been able to beat the AMD processors now. We'll see what happens in this battle between AMD and Intel, who comes out on top.
Especially in the new 64-bit world that we will be entering.
Well, I think if you were counting 64-bit, AMD really got a good jump on Intel because Intel did the whole Itanium thing, which didn't catch on. Man, I'm running an AMD 3064 processor right now, and I'm interested in upgrading my machine here in a little while myself. I've been thinking about it, but when you start doing the math about all the things you need to do, new motherboard, new power supply, new memory, new video card, I don't know that I would go with dual SLI. I'd probably go with just a PCI Express video card. For me, but I don't do heavy gaming or anything like that. But I'd like to keep the machine I've got intact and be able to use it as kind of a media center kind of server machine.
Sure.
Well, Joe, is there anything else tonight?
I had something else I wanted to talk about. Actually, you know, I'm thinking I want to start something new, Bill. We're going to end each one with like a video or something that I find. Or you find.
A video?
Like a YouTube video or something, because I was told that the iPod Flea commercial was hilarious, that I should do that more often.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they I don't know. I don't know what the policy is on naming our listeners, so I'm just not going to. But you know who you are. You said you really love the iPod Flea video, so I'm going to throw in some more videos every once in a while, if it's cool with you, Bill.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Well, the one video I found was, it's called Invisible Skating. I actually found it through Dig. And what these skateboard, what people would say punks, were doing is they're actually real savvy. They took their keyboards. I mean, their keyboards. I'm such a geek. They took their skateboards and painted them all green. The wheels, the deck, the whole nine, all of it is green. Then they put it into, and then they did their normal skateboarding thing, and then they put it into like Premiere or some sort of software, and then digitally removed their skateboards.
That's cool. Did you see the... Okay, go ahead.
So you end up with a video of these guys doing awesome tricks with nothing underneath them. It just looks like they're gliding across the ground.
Did you see those guys? Let me see. It looked like college guys that were doing stop motion video, and they were like jumping in the air. And stop motion video is where you take a shot, move the everything, take another shot, move the thing, and then you tie all of those individual still shots together, and it looks like something is moving.
Absolutely, yeah. Harryhausen did that in the very, very beginning.
Did you see that shot of those? Looks like college students doing all these different maneuvers.
Yeah, in the backyard, and it just looked like they were like hovering through the air and chasing each other and stuff.
Yeah, but it looked like they were inside the building on the one I saw.
Oh, maybe it's a different one.
Yeah, I'll have to shoot you the link.
Okay.
Well, this wraps up another edition of Tech Talk, guys. Joe, anything you want to say to our listeners?
No, I'm glad that we're getting some feedback from the listeners, and as you can see from today's podcast, we will do our best to make our listeners happy, because we want you to listen, we want you to tell your friends to listen, we want your friends' friends to listen, and just to let this podcast grow.
That was eloquent, Joe.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I'm Bill.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the Tech Talk guys. Thank you for listening, and thanks for listening.
We never get this right.
I don't know what the deal is. Why is it so hard to do that?
Who knows?
Oh, well.
Just good night.
Good night.
Good podcast.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Tech Talk Guys with Bill and Joe. If you'd like to find out more about this podcast, please go to our website at www.techtalkguys.com.